Welcome to the From Burnout to Recovery Show with your host, Dr. Kate. This is where your journey to burnout recovery starts. Are you feeling overwhelmed or like work has become unmanageable? Join me and my guests for open and honest conversations about burnout recovery from the comfort of the front porch. I am here to help you build your resilience and prepare you for burnout in a whole new way through a variety of perspectives. Move past the idea that burnout can only be addressed by avoidance and work to integrate recovery into your daily life. Relax, take a breath. The From Burnout to Recovery Show starts now. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the From Burnout to Recovery Show with Dr. Kate on Transformation Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Kate, and as always, I'm excited to welcome you to the show today. Remember, as you are enjoying the show, to hit that subscribe button and leave a 5-star rating and a review on what your favorite part was. Today, we are going to be joined by our guest, Sasha Morozov. Sasha Morozov is a former executive who holds a master's in social work and is the founder of Sasha X Home. When Sasha isn't chasing after her 2 sons, she now utilizes her clinical skills to coach women who are killing it at work, but feel like they're failing at home to have more time, less clutter, and habits for a peaceful life. Sasha believes that working moms are exceptional humans, I absolutely agree, who are skilled, devoted, and unstoppable. Sasha has spent almost 15 years working in the nonprofit field to help individuals and families create better futures. She is an avid minimalist, productivity master, and obsessed with organizing and designing people's lives. Sasha has now developed a 4-step method that focuses on self, home, relationships, and habits to help moms hit start on the life that they've put on pause. Sasha, welcome to the show.
Oh my gosh. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, I am so excited to have you here as well. So to get us started, as I ask all our guests, tell us a little bit more about yourself, your experience with burnout and your own journey to recovery.
Absolutely. Well, let me tell you why I love not just my story, but I just love this topic because guess what? I was one of those people that's like, I love what I'm doing. I'm going to just nail it. You know, I have an amazing partner. We are like building this beautiful, wonderful on paper life, right? And so many of us go through that. So many of us either go to higher education or really stick with that job career path and we climb, climb, climb. And what was happening is I was doing great at work. But then guess what? I was coming home, had 2 boys at the time. Well, I still have 2 boys, thank God. 2 boys. I was coming home and I was exhausted. I was exhausted, not just because I hated my job or anything like that. I was exhausted because my life at home was so disorganized. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm someone that's like super type A and anybody who walks in my house is like, your house is beautiful. Everything's so organized. On the outside, mm-hmm. it looked so great. But on the inside, I was really struggling with the relationships, with the time. And the thing is, when I asked my friends and others around me to be like, hey, do you feel like your weekends just fly by? The weeks just go? Like, are you just feeling like there's a never ending to-do list? Guess what? They all were like, yes. And I was like, wait, somebody doesn't, who has this magic pill? Because we're all being burnt out by our personal lives. At that point, I wasn't burnt out so much in my professional life, although later on, I started to see the similarities, right? However, at that time, I was really focused on what if I'm not the one that's just able to like relax? You know, I'm not the one that's able to just say, yes, everything is beautiful. Come on. That's really when I started to pay attention. And I don't know about you, but many of us that I speak to, COVID had such an impact, especially for me when I'm saying that part of my burnout was at home. Part of my burnout was my relationship, the way that I was parenting was really something that I had to now like face up front. There was no more just sending kids off to school. They're right there all day long. So we really got to a point, well, for us that, you know, I had to we had to do something different. It just had to do something different. So we did, my journey was really twofold. One is that we saw mental health specialists for my child that we really should have done years before. And even though the teachers were always like, blah, 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 you know, I'm like, okay, yes, but I'm a clinician, so I know what I'm doing. So he's fine. He's fine. He's just that boy. But really, when I started to, we sought outside mental health therapies and just really figured out what is going on with our oldest, it made our life so much lighter because the heaviest, most burnout piece was just this constant fighting, this constant, like, we say something, it didn't work out. So that was a really, really big piece of why we were able to kind of move forward. And then for us as parents, we were able to see in a new light that it's not because he didn't want to listen. It's not because he can't just control his emotions. Really is because his brain is not wired in that way to control his own emotions. His brain is not wired in the way of the typical, you know, I think he was like six, seven at the time, year old was. So that gave us new perspective. The other part is honestly what changed a big part of our life was saying during COVID, saying, you know what, we're going to be locked up. We might as well be locked up at the beach. So what we did is we just went to Costa Rica. We did went to Costa Rica for like half a year and just said, forget it. And that has been such a shift. And again, I don't want to be the girl that, like, if you read that book, Eat, Love, Pray,
right?
Where it's like, you go and you give everything up and then like you do all of the stuff. I'm not saying you have to go to Costa Rica, although I highly recommend it. Highly, highly recommend it. What I'm saying is when being able to just pause, being able to just kind of let life fall apart, when you let life fall apart, I feel like then you're really able to put it together. And if you're paying attention, you're able to put it together in a way that looks different, that you want it to look different. So it's not just putting it back together and the same pieces go in the same spot and the cycle just repeats. You're putting the pieces together. It's still making a whole, but it's just making it look a little bit different.
That, I love hearing your story. And what's striking me is, and I think something that's important for our listeners to also hear is this theme that you had of just like gaining new perspective, right? So gaining the perspective about your son through that professional lens that was outside your own kind of professional work in that aspect. And then the shift in physical perspective by going to Costa Rica and how important that was in the impact in your journey and facing this burnout that you were experiencing at home.
Yes. And I will say, you know, when I really think about it, although those are like two, like such substantial, you know, kind of pivoting moments, I will say, because anyone listening might be like, oh, that's great. She can just go to Costa Rica or whatever. Right? I can't do that. I hear you. I didn't think it was possible. What I will say is the fact that it started as an idea. The fact that like the small step was like, hey, what if we're locked up during the winter? And again, I live in Los Angeles, so they're really, the winter is very mild. Okay. We all know that. Okay. Owning it. But like, what if we're locked up, you know, 2020, what if we're locked up during the winter? Like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And just this small idea then started like, oh, well, what's kind of in our time zone? Oh, what if we did that? Like, oh, let's just see what it would look like if we did. Let's see with a check in with our companies. Like before the actual big pivot, there were so many small moments that we just started quietly and softly moving towards. So that way, when we actually took the leap or other things that I've done in my life, what I would say the biggest thing is the fact that like, you're doing something, you're doing something. Like we knew like, oh my gosh, this is awful. I don't want this to be the next year of our lives, you know? And when you're at that point, you just start to like, just put yourself in a space of just saying, what if, you know, what if it looked different? What if I traveled? What if I, you know, did whatever it comes up? What if I parented different? What if I worked from home? What if this, what if that, what if I gave up my car and walked and, you know, helped the environment? What if I volunteered? What if there's so many what ifs, mm-hmm. but when you phrase it that way, it doesn't feel as scary.
Yeah.
Because I think one of the things is that we get so deep in our hole of burnout and just like want to just get under the covers and watch Netflix and just try to pretend everything is not there. Mm-hmm. However, the only way out are those small steps. Just yeah. chip away, like just have some idea. Don't be afraid to dream. That doesn't mean that like, okay, what if I hung out with the president of the United States, right? But you could. I believe good. You. And, you know, message me if you do. I'd love to hear that. But the idea here is just like, for me, what started is just listening to a morning meditation. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, what started is while I was listening to meditation, like visualizing like the beach, because it was really important to like, just get out of my head, you know, and those small things is that I get it. We all get stuck. We all get burnt out. Totally. We get so burnt out and we're like, nobody gets this. Everybody else is fine. I'm the only one. But that's so not true. Mm-hmm. And that's also why I love what I'm doing today, which is coaching, because this is exactly what I do with my clients, is that we sit there and we work through the, how am I going to do this? I don't like this about myself. I want it to look different. Mm-hmm. And we pave a path to get you there. We pave a path of like, okay, but I want it. I don't know how to get there.
Yeah. I love that path paving piece. And, you know, listeners, you know, if you've been with me for a little while, you know that I talk a lot about micro steps. And that's something that a number of our guests have brought up, is the taking those small steps and those kind of things. Sasha, you mentioned something about like when you were talking about like the what if, but in the concept of like dreaming, right? So I was just on a call earlier today with someone who was what ifing, but in like the opposite direction, right? Like all the things that could go wrong if they did something in a particular way and those kinds of things. And I think that you have shifted that perspective in like, what if it went right? And how much yes. greater could it be? And I think that just that small shift for folks. So listeners, as you find yourself maybe what ifing in the direction of what could go wrong, shifting it to the dreamscaping. What if it went right? And what if your dreams like started to come true, and what small steps could get you to that space?
Yes, I thank you. I love that you said that. I also have, you know, I have one client in particular that is so, you know, like such a pain point, mm-hmm. such a root of anxiety, if I should say, put it in that way. And what I try to work on with her is the fact of, you know, it's almost like you're waiting for the shoe to drop. It's like, mm-hmm. what if like I take this, but I, you know, what if I take this promotion, I don't do well? What if, you know, I send my kid to this school, but he hates it or whatever, right? What if? And then I say, but okay, instead of just saying, what if that something will go wrong, it's actually think about the fact of everything you've done to make it go right mm-hmm. up to this point, to minimize that what if. And if it's not minimized, if it's such a large percentage, if you're like, no, but at 80%, it's going to go wrong. Well, how do we make it even 70? Mm-hmm. How do we make it even 60? And work from it from that angle of where you're saying like, okay, maybe I'll get fired. I don't know. Or whatever it may be. Maybe I hate this job, but maybe I'll hate the next job even more. Right. Mm-hmm. But what are the chances of that? Right. What is it in your mind? Right. Or maybe I'm not happy with this partner that I've chosen, or, you know, whatever it may be. But at the same time, but what is it that you've worked on so far to get mm-hmm. you here? Because if you're thinking about it could go wrong, you've also put yourself in a place of where you've gotten to this step. You've mm-hmm. already made the steps towards something.
Yeah.
So instead of just thinking like, I don't deserve this, or why is this happening in that way? Like, this is too good, right? Like, when's it gonna turn bad mm-hmm. is another way of looking at it, right? And then instead saying, but you've you've done the work for it to be this good. It didn't just appear out of nowhere, unless you like won the lottery. If you're like won the lottery and you're like, oh man, like, what if I spend all this money? Okay, that one I'll give to you. I'll give to you.
Yeah, I really like that aspect of kind of the piece and reminding yourself that you have done the work to get to the space and the place where you are now. Like that didn't just occur magically. It didn't just show up. You had some action as part of that. And I think just reminding ourselves of that is so, so important. So I'd love to hear. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and the thing is like, even with the parenting, like I'm going to own the fact that I honestly, oh my gosh, I'm going to get a lot of criticism for saying this out loud, but at times I did not like my kids. Okay. I was just at that point.
You're not the only parent that I've heard that from. I think that is a pretty common experience in parenthood.
But guess what? Yes, I will say I do like my kids most of the time now, at least. Okay. It was definitely flipped the other way at certain points. But that's also because, again, what you're saying, the action, that doesn't mean that like all of a sudden I was like, you know, I was waking up and like, okay, I'm going to be better today. I'm going to be better. But then you get it stuck into your habits and all this. But it was only after I did like parenting courses, I did coaching myself and the work and exploring all of these things that like now, you know, 2 years later, I'm in a much healthier space. So for anyone that's out there that's like feeling burnt out, feeling this stuckness, yes, it doesn't mean that tomorrow you're just going to be all life is sunshine. But the point is that you can't get to the sunshine without actually doing something. So even if it seems like, even if it's just one thing a day, even if it's just thinking about how can it be better or visualizing what it can look like, even that, just something, you know, because eventually it will get there. Because I feel like when we're burnt out, we really get into this hole of like, it's just never going to be good again.
Yeah. And that's a really hard thought to overcome sometimes. But I think that the pieces of, you know, your advice in regard to like doing a small meditation, visualizing yourself on the beach for just a few minutes a day and allowing yourself to really be there or dream of something that, you know, makes you happier or you know, thinking of a win that you had at some point and giving yourself those really kind of pieces of like gratitude and winning and those pieces and reminding yourself that you did the work to get to the space you are now and that you can continue to do the work that is going to help get you into even further into recovery out of that burnout space too.
I was just going to say another way I like to frame it is, what's something you can do that's fun right now? You
know? I love that. Yeah. I'm big on play. So I love it.
Yes. Like, come on. We take life so seriously. Yeah. Okay. Like, I'll be honest. Today, I was kind of like in a blah mood, you know? And I was like, okay, what can make me feel good right before I get on talk with a client or right before I get on talk with you? And I just had some ice cream because I was like, you know what? It's a hot day. I'm going to have some ice cream. That's it. That's not something astronomical. That's not something where I'm like, oh, you guys, like this is the secret to overcoming burnout. But guess what? It totally improved my mood, you know? Yeah. So what are some small things that just like feel good, have fun? Doesn't have to be these like huge things.
Yeah, I think that is so important. I refer to those things as our comfort list. So what are the things that bring us like comfort and joy and excitement and like that caring for ourselves and implementing those small things. So ice cream would definitely be a good one to have on that piece. What are some other things that you have learned to start incorporating into like your day-to-day to help support yourself from getting back into that burnout space?
I would say a biggest thing is honestly to just keep learning, keep learning and doing the work, because I feel like, okay, yes, I've improved in the parenting, right? Or this, but that doesn't mean that I know everything. I'm a coach. Hello. I'm a life coach, right? People come to me for the guidance and all of that. And I love it. but I still got ways to go. Mm-hmm. I still talk to somebody because there are things that I feel like the biggest thing I've learned is honestly, I've always been someone that's like, I can figure it out on my own. Right. Like I've got the teachings for it. Like I got friends, you know, half the people I know are therapists also. So I can just call somebody up if I really need something. Like I felt like I have everything at my disposal, but I wasn't verbalizing it. I wasn't actually like speaking to someone. And I know everybody's different, but I really feel like whether it's a coach, whether it's a mentor, somebody that you can continuously have dialogue about your burnout or about your specific, like whatever is going through, not just to someone that's just going to be like, oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Mm-hmm. Someone that actually like is your cheerleader is going to motivate you. You know, you have that person that when you get off the phone with them, you feel more energized. Yeah. That's what a good coach is, or that's what a good mentor is. So that's what I'm saying with just keep doing the work, because that's what I feel like took me so much longer than it could have, is because I was doing it by myself. I was like, you know, speaking with my husband all the time, like, I need to be a better mom. I need to stop yelling. I need to do this. And like, which was great. And he's an amazing partner, but it's different when you have kind of that person or that group that really gets it and that is able to help you figure out the tools and keep making sure you're on that path and keep moving along that path. And it's not just going to let you just say, okay, now you've learned like better ways to be a good parent. Okay, bye. Have a good day. It's understanding that it's just a process and a journey.
Yes. Yeah. That is so important to highlight in that aspect. I think we often like, I know for myself, I think about the amount of time, I wouldn't say wasted, but the amount of time I spent trying to get some place that it just took much longer. And then when I got that support system in place through a coach or a mentor or a counselor or someone who was helping me in that aspect, it just felt like things happened so much faster in that regard. So remember, dear audience members, like that support is out there for you. It can look so many different ways, but to remember that this isn't a journey that you're meant to take by yourself, that there are support people that can help you with this.
Yes. And one of the best ways I like to say this, and I say this to clients often whenever they're like, oh, but why didn't I just figure this out like on my own? And I'm saying like, think of it like this. Okay. Personal training. Right? You don't wait. Most people don't wait till they're like extremely overweight to hire a personal trainer. Why did they hire a personal trainer? They can go to the gym. They can do the workouts themselves. But when you hire a personal trainer, you get results faster because that person's an expert. You get to your end goal of whether losing weight, toning up, or whatever it may be. And no one thinks of that as like, oh, I have to have a personal trainer. No, they're like, cool, I get a personal trainer. And that's what I want people to really look at as coaching. It's an expert or a mentor or counselor, whoever fits kind of that, you know, that space for you. It's somebody that's an expert that's either been there, understands what you're going through, and now has a better skill, like better coping and skills to get you there faster. Exactly like you were saying, who's more likely to get to their end goal? Somebody that has a personal trainer that does it once a week on the dot, or somebody that's just kind of doing it on their own? There, you get different results. And that's where I feel like when I say like I work with working moms, because I feel like at this point, when we've had kids, we've climbed the corporate ladder, we don't have time to mess around. We don't have time to like just sit on a Saturday and read a book for 5 hours about self-help and then, oh, maybe I should try that. Like we're go, go, go. And that's why I think a coach or mentor or someone is so valuable.
Yeah. Sasha, this has been such a great conversation. If you were to offer our audience members one additional piece of advice, what would that be?
Oh, I love this one. What I would say is honestly, you know, one of the things I hear a lot about habits and people sticking to habits or not sticking to habits per se is because they, you know, how, you know, you try a new diet or whatever, and then like you do great for 3 days and then you kind of get off track. So instead, I want you to just think of like set 1 hour of time ahead for yourself during the week, just pick 1 hour, like Tuesdays at 2, right? Or whatever it may be. And I want you to think about 3 things that you can do during that time that would feel good. So maybe it's yoga, maybe it's taking a nap, maybe it's calling a friend, whatever it is. Because one of the biggest things that I see is that what happens if you say you're going to do yoga every Tuesday at 2, say you do it 1 week, you do it the next week, and then the 3rd week you're tired, you don't really feel like doing it, so you don't do it. Then the next week you're like, well, I didn't do it last week, so I'm not going to do it. Instead, I want you to keep that time. Keep that time as a sacred time. And that way you have things to choose from. You have 3. And it's whatever you're feeling that day. So 3 to 5. I don't recommend more than 5 because then you get lost in the choices and overwhelmed. Yeah. And that's no good. No good.
Right.
So really it's that advice of keep the steady time, but just know during that time, that's your time to do something healthy for yourself. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be that yoga every single time. It can be a nap. It can be whatever you're feeling at that moment, because we're not robots. We kind of like think of ourselves and program ourselves as if we are going to be perfectly on time, just like make it to dinner or, you know, leave mm-hmm. the office by 5 every day, but that's not life. So if you want to do yoga every Tuesday at 2, amazing, but that's not my advice to you. Pick 3 to 5 things max and just have a sacred time. So that way, when that time comes, you don't just say, oh, I don't feel like doing yoga, not do anything. You say, okay, I don't want to do yoga, but you know what? I'll read a book today. And you still do something.
Yeah, that is an amazing piece of advice to end our interview on, that choose a sacred time, keep that time, but have some options, a few options for yourself, that 3 to 5 options that you can do within that time. And I love that because you can kind of continue to assess that as it goes along. And maybe if the yoga or whatever you chose a few weeks ago isn't working any longer, you can switch it out, which is awesome. Sasha, thank you so much for being on the show. Where can our audience members connect with you more?
Absolutely. If you are a working mom, head on over to SashaXHome.com. And there you can find the link to my free Facebook group where I do lives all the time. And if you have any questions, you're welcome to message me, as well as you can download the 5 steps to coming home happy after work. So that way you can start living your life a little bit lighter and a little bit brighter today.
Beautiful. And of course, audience members, you can find the links to connect with Sasha in the show notes. Sasha, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you. Thank you.
What a fantastic interview with Sasha. And I really enjoyed talking about that what if, right? But doing it from the concept of let's dream a little. What if things work out? What if, you know, that big step is the amazing step for you? And what actions, small actions can you take to get to that space? Dear listeners, I want to remind you to, if you haven't yet, be sure to subscribe to the show, leave us 5 stars, leave a review, let us know what your favorite parts of the show are. And if you are loving this, be sure to share this with someone else who you think needs to hear this message. So anyone that you're thinking of, you're like, maybe they're feeling a little burned out, or maybe they're not, maybe they're in kind of pre-burnout, but you know how it feels to be there and you want to share this impact with other people. I encourage you to do that. We're going to be moving into our recovery moment at this time. And of course, I want to remind you to do so in a safe space. This one is actually one that you may want to hit pause on or listen to and then come back to later, because this is going to be a meditation that involves chocolate. So if you don't have chocolate around you right now, I encourage you to listen, come back and with your piece of chocolate or with your treat. And we're going to be doing a meditation on mindful eating and talking a little bit more about the concept of that. So mindful eating is something that is so, so important. And I want to share this piece with you. So psychologist Jean Chrysler at Indiana State University and colleagues at Duke University conducted a study of mindful eating techniques for treatment of binge eating. The randomized controlled study included 150 binge eaters and compared a mindfulness-based therapy to a standard psychoeducational treatment and a control group. Both treatments produced declines in binging and depression, but the mindfulness-based therapy seemed to help people enjoy their food more, have less sense of struggle about controlling their eating. Those who meditated more both at mealtimes and throughout the day got more out of the program. So it's really an impactful thing when we think about mindful eating. And one of the things that I think is so important when we are always, often we're so rushed, especially at mealtime. So we're eating lunch at our desk, or we're eating, you know, breakfast while standing over the sink, or while we're commuting in our car, and it's a part of another activity. But when we're mindful about what we're eating, we're more present. So we enjoy the taste and the experience of our food. We're more aware of how our body is receiving that food and that energy that comes for us. We're more aware of what's happening around us while we're eating, and it encourages us to slow down. So we slow down our chewing, and that really helps us with our digestion, which helps us just feel better in our bodies. So we're going to move into that recovery moment and our chocolate mindful eating meditation. So dear listeners, when you're ready for your chocolate meditation, go ahead and get yourself into a comfortable position. We're going to start by taking a few deep breaths. And as you breathe, slowly let go of any tension that you might be holding in your muscles. You want to start your chocolate meditation as physically relaxed as possible. Go ahead and open your chocolate. Inhale the scent. Let it wash over you like a wave of smell. Notice if your mouth is responding to it as well. Look at the chocolate. See how that affects all of your senses. Break off a piece and look at it. Really let your eyes drink in what it looks like, examining every nook and cranny, the bubbles and the cracks, the individual grains of cocoa. Now, if you're comfortable, close your eyes. Finally, take a small bite of your chocolate. Let it sit on your tongue and melt slowly in your mouth. Notice the flavors becoming completely absorbed in what you are experiencing right now. Notice the sensations in your mouth. Notice your breathing. See if it's possible to hold the chocolate on your tongue and let it melt. Notice any resistance to that, or any craving or desire, with no judgment, just noticing. Chocolate has over 300 different flavors. See if you can sense some of them. After the chocolate has completely melted, very slowly swallow it. Feel the sensations and your body's response as it goes down your throat. Notice how your mouth feels. Notice the feelings of wanting or not wanting to take a second bite. Try to even follow the feeling of your hand coming up towards your mouth and any emotions that arise. How does it feel? Once the chocolate is in your mouth, how does that feel? If other thoughts drift into your mind as you are absorbing your chocolate, gently turn your attention back to the flavors and sensations you're experiencing right now in the present. Repeat this with one other piece. This time, consider who grew the ingredients of this chocolate, where they may have come from, the beings who made it possible for you to be eating it, the beings who made it possible for the plants to grow. Say a word of thanks for the food you are about to eat. When you are finished eating your chocolate, you might choose to continue your meditation, or you might gently return to the sights, sounds, and sensations around you. Mindful eating is very pleasant. We sit beautifully. We are aware of the people surrounding us. We are aware of the food on our plates. This is a deep practice. Thich Nhat Hanh. Take care of your body. It's the only place you have to live, by Jim Rohn. Dear listeners, as you bring this meditation to a close, go ahead and take one nice, big, deep breath. And if you'd like to continue in meditation, please do so. If you're ready, you can open your eyes and come back to your present moment. I want to extend my gratitude to you for joining me on the show today, and my gratitude to our guest, Sasha, for our conversation and our what if and dreaming a little bit today. Remember, for more recovery moments, you can follow me at Dr. Kate Steiner on Instagram, and be sure to subscribe to the From Burnout to Recovery show on YouTube. Thank you for joining us on the From Burnout to Recovery show with Dr. Kate on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Dr. Kate, and I wish you peace on your journey. Thank you for joining me on the front porch today. Remember that you can download your free guide on how to recover from burnout in 2 hours a week on my website, drkatesteiner.com. And as always, be well, my friends. Thank you for joining me, Dr. Kate, on the From Burnout to Recovery show, where you are starting your journey to burnout recovery. You are invited to join me on the front porch every second and fourth Friday of the month on transformationtalkradio.com to continue growing in resilience and integrating recovery into your daily life. If you would like to learn more or find out how to work with me, visit liftwellnessconsulting.com.